Now, we're happy you're here tonight, and before I get started doing anything, I'm going to give some of you an opportunity to share a word of testimony, and I guess, Brother Curley, you're first. Come on. You just shouldn't have come in here, brother. We're going to have an old-time praise service tonight, Curley, so we'll just let you start. I didn't say anything to you, but I figure you're Johnny on the spot.
I'm going to try to be.
Really. Okay, share a word of testimony.
Praise the Lord. Praise
Ben,
the Lord.
If you've got a word to share, just come up. I want you to talk into the mic if you can so everyone can hear, okay?
Praise the Lord.
Go ahead, brother.
Thank y'all so much for being faithful to the house of God tonight. Man, I just want to give God the glory in what he's been doing. Everywhere I look, the enemy is trying to come in, but I tell you, the word comes right back to me and says, where evil abounds, grace does much more abound.
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to tell you, I'm praising him for his faithfulness, even in spite of what the enemy wants to throw up and say, hey, I'm coming against you. And he is. I'm seeing him do it on every hand. He's like, I'm going to get you from a different direction, Curley. And I'm like, well, you may do that. Excuse me, allergy season in Texas. But what I see is every time I turn around, if I remember to not react in the flesh or not to chase that squirrel that the devil wants me to do, then God says, man, listen to me. You're a slow starter, but you're picking it up now. It took me a long time, only 54 years, to really have your ear talking to you. But don't listen to him. He's a liar. He wants to tell you that you're not going to overcome, but I already overcame. Pastor was preaching about that Sunday. Boy, I'm telling you, that word set in my spirit. Man, you just need to rejoice in the Lord because God's already done what needed to be done at Calvary. You just have to stand on it. Pray prayers of faith. Don't beg God. Don't plead God. Don't hope. You believe God has already done it. He doesn't have to redo it. He don't have to come in like a flood and do it again because it's already been done. 2,018 years ago, he paid the price and paid it in full. It wasn't anything we could do, but it was everything he needed to do, and he did it. And he's been doing that in my house, and every time I turn around and I want to get in the natural. If I told you something better than that, you'd say, well, that Curley, he's such an oak. He's such an oak. But, and then Brother Tommy would come right behind you and tell you, no, he's a sapling. Don't worry, he's not an oak. I'm slow to learn this sometimes, but you guys are pillars of the faith. You know it. Sometimes we forget it. I told this to a sister this morning. She was just turned inside out. And I said, man, God's faithful. You need to pray prayers of faith. And every time I start perceiving and going at this attack that the enemy is going to always bring to you, he never quits until you go and receive that glorious body we get from him. He's never going to quit. He's going to always try to do that. But if you'll remember, man, I'm not under the circumstances. I'm standing on those promises. I'm going to bless the Lord no matter what it looks like in the natural, because this is not a natural body. This is a spirit-filled body. I'm not under that. I'm on top of that, and I'm going to quit receiving the lies and the enemy's report, because I'm not wandering around in the desert for 40 years. I'm going to receive it right now, this day. You do the same in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Curley. I think you left your glasses. Oh, okay. Sister Glenda. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. When Brother Dahl called me and asked me if I'd give a word of testimony, I told Joel, what in the world, how in the world can I get it down that small? I could praise the Lord from now on. I could tell you, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. have so much to praise him for. But when I asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to say to tell them tonight? And he said, the prayer. It's been so prevalent in your life. My grandmother, who was so special to me, died it when I was 4 years old. But they said before she died that I would get up on the bed with her and lay hands on her and pray for her. That was just part of it. And then on and losing my first husband, prayer got me through that. Joyce knows how much I went through. She knows how much prayer went through it. And you know, I've always said, if you believe and receive, but if you doubt, you'll do without. And I have always known. And the greatest praise that I have for him tonight is what he's doing in my brother's life. Most of you know, if you were out at the barn the other night, I have a brother who's very precious. I just have two brothers. And this brother's just 6 years younger than I am, and he's always thought I was a fanatic. I prayed too much, I believed too much, and all this stuff. But he was at the end of his rope. And you know, people, you get the end of your rope, and there's no other place to go. And I praise the Lord for this church, which is such a praising church, for the Bethel family. I praise the Lord for the barn. And where we anoint those handkerchiefs and send them out. And you know what? He's going to let me come. He turned me down. I couldn't come Tuesday. I was supposed to have come Tuesday. And they called and told me not to come. I was supposed to come today, and he had something else to come on. But I'm going at 10 o'clock in the morning. The Lord is real. And people, prayer is the thing that we've got to have in the days we've got coming. Oh, I praise him for prayer. I praise him that you can talk to him and that he talks back to you. I praise him for this Bethel family again and for Pastor Mike. It's meant so much. I praise him for 14 years ago when he told me that Joel was the one. Oh, I've got to quit praising. Let someone else come. But I could go on, and I know each one of you can too, but I want to just shout. I'm going to shout all the time, praising, because he does so, and he's going to do a lot more. We're coming to a time where he's going to give us a lot of covering, and we're going to have more to praise him about.
Thank you, Glenn.
Praise the Lord.
Well, you can't praise him enough. I testified Friday night at the barn of what he done for me. Seems like the older I get, the more he has to help me along and keep things out of my way. But Saturday, why, we was hooking up a box blade, and it's got the teeth on the bottom of the box blade. So we're having a little trouble with it, with the tractor, and so they raised it up and put a cross tie under the center of it. And I'm holding on to the box blade, and when he released, the arms went down. It, all that weight, it didn't just fall over. It come with a force. And if my head had been about that far over, it would have crushed my head, because it didn't just fall over. But the beam of it, when it come down, it went between my arm and my chest. It knocked me back. I didn't get a scratch, no bruise. He's helping me. Every time I turn around, he's having to do something to keep me in trouble. And I thank him tonight for it.
Lord's just keeping us jacked up, isn't he? Brother Tom, come share a word with us. Brother Tom and Judy Durrington from Alpharetta, and they've been with us now 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
He's 3 weeks.
Since I've been in Alvareda, I used to tell the mayor of Cleburne that they're a suburb of Alvareda. Let them know that for sure. The scripture, Psalms 118:17, says, I will not die but live, proclaim what the Lord has done. So that's a special scripture for me, and that's what I'm going to give a testimony about tonight. A few years ago, I had a heart attack, and this was in June. And the devil was mad in a way because we had a teenage gathering in Alvareda that week, and about 100 kids gave their life to the Lord. And that weekend, we were having a baptism for those teenagers, and my granddaughter was one of them. So I knew the devil was already mad at me, and he attacked me. I had a heart attack, symptoms of a heart attack on a Thursday, and also in the past I had acid reflux, and symptoms sometimes were very similar. So I really kind of shook it off and didn't pay much attention to it, but it kind of kept on. And on Friday, it was 100-something degrees. I was out in the yard trimming trees, and God spared me then, because I could have overheated anything, but he took care of me. And then that Saturday morning, my wife Judy, her sister lives in Wichita, and they come down occasionally, and she likes to go shopping at Neiman Marcus and Grapevine Mills. So that was our plan. But we also had some other option that weekend. We have delivered cars for a funeral home, or Hearst and Nemo's, and they asked us to go to El Paso that weekend to deliver cars. So I'll come back to that in a minute, okay? And so the other option was to go visit the other sister that lives in Glen Rose. So, but anyway, they wanted to go shopping in Grapevine Mills. So on the way, I took a wrong route, and there was an accident. We had to wait for about an hour and a half in the traffic, and that made them upset because they wanted to get to Neiman's, you know. So we get to Neiman's, and I have a heart attack at Neiman's. I told the doctor later it's because when they figured the bill, that's when I had it. But anyway, they called the paramedics. And by the way, I saved my sister-in-law a lot of money because she was fixing to buy a diamond ring. She had to cancel that heart attack. And soon I called paramedics, and I come to find out later that Grapevine paramedics are paramedics. It's one of some of the best in the state. And Bader Grapevine is where they took me. And I come to find out that's one of the best cardiac hospitals in the state. And when I drove up to the emergency room, I mean, there was 10 people waiting on me in the emergency room. And they said, this is your lucky day. I knew it was my blessed day, but they said, this is your lucky day. The best heart doctor is on duty today. So anyway, coming back to Neiman's for a little bit, but waiting on paramedics, a pastor that we've known for 30-some years in Fort Worth, his son was getting married the next weekend, and he and his wife were at Grapevine Mills to get a wedding dress. First time ever been in Grapevine Mills, ever. And he kept telling her, she said, I got to go to Neiman's. She said, I don't want to go to Neiman's. She said, no, I got to go to Neiman's. So he walks in, and there he is when the paramedics gets there. So God just reassured me that everything's going to be all right. And he came over and prayed for me. He said, you're going to be okay. I said, I know it. So anyway, between the time the paramedics picked me up and they put a stent in the back of my heart, was 40 minutes. And it was just bam, bam, bam. The doctor knew exactly what he was doing. In fact, he told me later that he said, I'm good. I said, I'm glad you are. He was kind of arrogant about it. He said, I'm good at what I do. And praise God for that. But anyway, going back to El Paso, we'd have been coming back that day out in West Texas, I wouldn't be here. If we hadn't had the accident, had to wait, we'd be coming back from Neiman's, and I'd be out somewhere, and I wouldn't have got as quick of attention. If we'd gone to Glen Rose, I'd gotten care of it, it still wouldn't have been very quick attention. So it was God had me to the right place at the right time, because he knew it was going to happen, and so he took care of me. And that's why the scripture is so important to me. I will not die but live and proclaim what the Lord has done.
Thank you, Tom. And do you know what? You're not going to die, but you're going to live until the Lord gets ready to take you home. Amen? I believe that. Angela?
She was, when he asked me to give testimony. I'm not good at speaking in front of people, but I never want to not give God testimony. And then it's like you said, which one do I give? There's so many things to give testimony for. This is the most recent. I'm going to give it for my husband. He's one of the three teachers that helps with the third to fifth grade boys. A lot of you know and been praying with us that he's been off on work injury since November. They sent him back December, January, I can't remember. But it was too early, he re-injured. So there's been different issues with the injury reports. Not reports, he's going to be fine. but with care that he's been getting, with issues at work, people really attacking him. So this was a week ago, Monday. He was getting his follow-up appointment at the place he had to go so that he could give paperwork to his work and everything. Just started getting attacked, one thing after another. So much so, he was just like, what in the world? What's going on? And I hadn't seen him get like that. Well, really, never. We've been married almost 29 years. God's just been doing so many good things through our whole married life. But he came to church on Wednesday night, and the guys have been loving this new curriculum that Miss Pastor Marie got for the boys to do, and the men come out saying, well, we had church. I don't know about the kids, but we've had church, you know. I hope they've gotten something out of it. And supposedly he was given a prayer request, you know, for the situation. There's about, you know, keep praying for my job situation. There's lots of things going on. Came under attack quite a bit today. Just keep me in your prayers. One of the other teachers spoke up, and he said, the Lord spoke to me that exact same day and said, there's a brother in Christ that's paralyzed. You need to be praying for him. And Paul didn't think about it. Right then, I reminded him when he told me after class, and he had to hurry and go run tell the other teacher. But his exact words to me that day was, I feel numb. Things have attacked me so much, I just feel numb. What is paralysis? You're numb. So it just reminded us over and over again, God is faithful. He's always there through all situations. He's in control of everything that you're going through. There's a reason for things happening, and he's proven himself over and over and over again, and Paul knows that. God has always been there for us. But through the storm, he's always there, and it came to me was, you know what? This is your reminder, just as Elisha prayed for his servant, open my servant's eyes to show there's a spiritual battle going on for you. Again, what Carly said about the message on Sunday, and the tongues interpretation spoke straight to us. Another testimony was that the teacher that God spoke this to that prayed for Paul, that was also his first time to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and was started speaking in tongues as he was praying for Paul. So just continue to believe and trust God. He's got everything in control.
Thank you. Thank you for being bold, Angie. I think it's good for us to give testimonies. Do you believe that? Okay, Brother Rex. If I didn't call you, it's because I didn't have your telephone number.
I called Joy, and she pushed it off on Rex.
Well, one thing I've learned, and God has taught me over the years, is the fact that you can't give God praise for somebody else. She got to do it herself. That's not good English, but it's the truth. I want to tell you right quickly, I'm old enough to know that, and I've been through enough to know that God is enough. And I want to write quickly if I can. First part of last year, I had a real bad case of the shingles. And many of you already know the testimony of, that I'm going to tell you again. It's worth repeating. The shingles was on the left side. It went from candle cane. It was bad. And this went on for probably 4 or 5 months. Things were bad. And it wasn't that the doctor hadn't given me medicine. I took all kinds of medicines. I took everything that he told me. Sunday school class had prayed and we had requested prayer. But one Sunday morning, I think it was in somewhere around the month of July, I began to take them in early May, and this is maybe July or early August. I had a man to come to me after the service on Sunday morning, and he cornered me over and kind of pulled me aside, and he said, "How's your shingles?" And I said, "They're shingles." And he said, "The Lord has spoken to me and told me to tell you something." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "He told me to tell you to go get carnation milk and bathe yourself in it." I said, "Okay." That's what he said. And I looked at him and I said, "Carnation milk." And he just threw up his hands and turned around and walked off. And he said, "Carnation." And he walked off. So I go home, and on the way home, I tell Joy what he told me. And so in a couple of days, she tells me, she said, "There's milk in there and on the pantry shelf." She said, "I bought some milk." And I says, "Well, what brand did you buy?" She said, "Great Value from Walmart." I said, "It won't work." So anyway, to make a long story short, a couple of days later, she said, "There's carnation milk on the shelf in the pantry." I take it, and so I'm going to in there, and I say, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to take me a little dab of carnation milk, and I'm going to dab it just, you know." And the Lord spoke to me and said, "No, that doesn't work." So anyway, to make a long story short, I was going to take my carnation milk and do what needed to be done, and then I was going to shower. He said, "No, that won't work either." So it's bedtime, and so I do what needs to be done. But I never took any of the medicine. All the nerves on this side of the body that was giving me so much problem, never another problem. I'm grateful that I go to a church where God can speak to somebody. And it's one thing to hear from God, but you know what? It's another thing to obey God. You know, it's easy. And I've told this story to several, and they kind of snigger, and it is kind of funny about the brand. But I want you to know something. God is an exact God. And it's important that when he speaks to our hearts that we obey him. One of the scriptures that came to my mind after Brother Doyle called me was the fact that one of the greatest promises in the Bible to me is he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." "Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will take me home."
Praise the Lord.
Hey, Rick.
Prophet told the leper, "You go down to the Jordan and dip." Seven times. You know, ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I've heard that story. And it always was the same. He went down 6 times and he was still a leper. He came up that seventh time, clean. I believe in absolute obedience, regardless of how ridiculous it sounds. Amen? Someone else have a word to share tonight? We'll give you the opportunity. Praise the Lord.
For you guys that don't know me, my name is Zelda, and Lee and I have been here for 2 years. But back in 1996, I was working for Teen Challenge of Arizona in Tucson. And we had just moved our headquarters into a new building, or a rented building, and it was upstairs. You know, when you're working for the Lord, that devil doesn't like it. I got fibromyalgia. And I had a really hard time of getting up and down the stairs to my office. And I didn't say a lot to the people that I worked with. I had a really hard time in church because I couldn't stand during the worship service. I couldn't clap my hands because the pain would go up my arms, and I couldn't raise my hands above my head because it just hurt too much. So I had decided that I was going to have to quit my job. And I loved my job. I liked what I did. I liked the people I worked with, and I didn't want to quit my job. But I was having trouble getting in and out of my car. I was having trouble getting in and out of up and down those stairs. And I said, you know, this can't go on. Well, Lee and I were on the prayer team at church at the time. And one Sunday morning, the pastor had a healing service. And he asked the prayer team to come up and pray for people. So Lee and I came up to pray for people. And this lady came up for prayer. And I tried to pray for her, and the words would not come out. So I stood back, and I said, Lord, you got to help me. And I tried to pray for her again, and I couldn't get any words out. So I grabbed my friend Denise, who was on one of the prayer team, and I said, Denise, can you pray for this lady? I can't do it. And she said, well, yeah, we'll pray for her. She said, first, we're going to pray for you. And so they prayed for me. And then we prayed for her and went on about our business and didn't think any more about it. Well, that Sunday night, I went to church. I stood up for praise and worship. And I clapped my hands. I didn't think a thing about it. Wednesday night, I went to church, and I could praise the Lord. Thursday, Lee came to Teen Challenge to pick me up for lunch, and I ran down the stairs. We went to Applebee's, and we were eating lunch, and he said, what is the matter with you? And I said, what do you mean, what's the matter with me? I feel good. He said, oh, you feel good. I said, yeah, I feel good. He said, your legs don't hurt? And I said, no. He said, your arms don't hurt? And I said, no. And he said, when did that quit hurting? And I said, Sunday morning. I got a healing on Sunday and didn't realize it till Thursday. God is like that. He knows what you need when you need it. I continued to work for Teen Challenge until I retired. And I told Lee, I said, I want to move to Texas. Our kids live in Alvarado, and I said, I want to move to Texas. We couldn't afford it. But, you know, the Lord worked it out. We moved to Texas in April 2 years ago. 2 months later, my husband was diagnosed with cancer of the liver. And he's been doing treatments every month for almost 2 years. But I know that God brought us here and brought us to this church because he knew the week that we found out that he was diagnosed with cancer, there was a message in tongues and an interpretation, and God said to us, "We know the mountain you are facing, and we are with you. I am with you through that trial." I don't know what God has in store for us here, but I know God brought us here. And I know God is going to heal my husband because he healed me. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Okay, Brother Arley. Let's hear it loud. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. I want to know if you think God's got the answer. Amen. He's got the answer. Now, we've praised him a little bit on earth tonight. And we could go on until midnight. We really could. Praising the Lord. You know, it's wonderful what the Lord has done. You know, I came from a family of four children, and God spared me so much. I was disciplined the same, had the same restrictions, the same rules, and there were a bunch of rules. But God spared me from wandering away from him. My three siblings all went away from the Lord, and they did come back. I praise the Lord for that. But I consider what God did for me the biggest miracle. Amen. I praise God that he has kept me in the palm of his hand. Praise the Lord. And I could go on and on and on praising the Lord. I want us tonight to think just a little bit. I started out with Psalms 150. Now, Psalms 150 just finishes off the book of Psalms. It's a book of praise. You know, David was probably one of the greatest ones to exalt the Lord that ever walked the planet. He believed in praising God. He praised God in difficulties. He praised the Lord when he was on the mountaintop. He believed in praising the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psalter and harp. Praise him with the Timberland dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him up on the loud sounding cymbals. Praise him up on the high sounding cymbals. And he ends it up, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now we praise the Lord on earth. Now I want us to think a little bit differently. I want us to think about those who praise the Lord in heaven. How many of you have a loved one that's gone on to heaven? What do you think they're doing tonight? Praising the Lord. Praising the Lord from a different perspective than we've ever seen. Can you imagine? Now we look at all the things the Lord's done. Brother Curley started out and a bunch of us testified. But we praise the Lord for these things that we've done down here. How do you think they will compare to what those who are in heaven are praising the Lord for tonight? They're praising God for ultimate victory. And we praise the Lord for victories. But Brother Curley started out, you know, the enemy's always fighting us. And if you think that you have won your last victory, get ready to breathe your last breath. There will be another battle. But I refuse to accept that as a threat. The enemy is not strong enough to defeat me. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And no weapon that he forms against me, and he's got a lot up his sleeve, things that I don't know about. But nothing he tries is going to work, because God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So tonight, let's rejoice in what we see that the Lord has done. But I want us to think just a little bit. You know, my mind went back to the book of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You know, I tried to imagine that. My imagination may not be as vivid as some, but I tried to imagine that train filled. You know what I think it was? It wasn't a bunch of material. It was the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. Can you imagine being exposed to the glory of the Lord? We feel a little touch of it once in a while down here. And you know, I've pastored church for a lot of years, and I've seen every kind of reaction to people feeling the power of God. Some people can sit just calmly, and they're feeling the Lord just as much as the other guy that's jumping the moon, you know. I'll never forget, I pastored a church once, and there was a man in the church. He was a wonderful, spirit-filled Christian. He'd been as mean as the devil before God saved him. But when God saved him, you know, I mean, he would come into the church before he was saved and drag his wife out of the altar. You know, I mean, he was mean. But when God saved him, he made a big change. I'd be preaching along, and all of a sudden, it sounded like an Indian yelled. And that was him. There's a guy sitting right back there that reminds me of him. You hear him on Sunday morning? You know? It's kind of unnerving, but I mean, it doesn't scare me because I'm Pentecost. But somebody that comes in that's not Pentecost, it might make them not ever come back. You know? But some people react to the power of God differently. Now, I mentioned my mom and daddy Sunday night when I was speaking. I've seen my mama just have a shouting good time. She wore high heels everywhere she went. She was 5'3" or 5'4", and she wore high heels to pick cotton. And that's a fact. But she'd get happy, and it would sound like, I mean, just a chatter, you know, those high heels in the floor. I wonder how she's acting now. Because she's seeing it from an altogether different perspective now. It's all history. You know, I like for things to be history. I like for work to be history. If I've got a chore to do, I want to get it done so I can say, that's done. Now, she's looking back at everything as history. All the battles. She had bronchial asthma. And she was a preacher. She was preaching when I was born. And she might sit up in a straight back chair for 3 days and nights. Heathen, you could hear her all over the house. Church time come, she'd get up and go to church and preach like a house of fire. Go home and sit down in that chair. That's history now. She's breathing tonight. Amen. Amen. Listen, from that perspective, I want you to think about it. Sometimes we get anxious because the bills are due. Don't know how we're going to afford something. Those that are in heaven are walking on streets of gold. Gates of pearl. Walls of jasper. I mean, they're seeing it from a perspective of everything's over. It's done with. And tonight, I'm looking forward to that day when I can praise the Lord from heaven. I was studying and I pulled up this little saying. They used to repeat this a long time ago in the early church. Oh, praise Jehovah for his grace, for he is gracious, for his mercy endures forever. And then the other group would respond to that. Oh, praise the Lord for his gracious, his mercy endures forever. I thought, man, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Just get half the house saying, oh, praise the Lord for he is gracious, his mercy endures forever. And this group, oh, praise the Lord for he is gracious, his mercy endures forever. You know what? I can say that from my heart tonight. Oh, praise the Lord for he is gracious, his mercy endures forever. It's the mercy of the Lord that we're still here, Brother Lee. We may have to carry an affliction in our body sometime that we don't understand. But I want to tell you, God knows what's going on. And I believe that. You said, well, just listen. I was raised by a very strict disciplinarian. My daddy expects you to do it when he said do it without a word. I never remember talking back to my daddy because I watched my sister do it. I learned fast. Yeah. But you know what it taught me? It taught me to respect the authority of God. I don't question God. I really don't. I never ask God, why did this happen to me? One of the best Sunday school teachers I ever had throughout my ministry, and he was a good one. But I could listen, and he's saying, why me? I thought, brother, come on, let's get with it. You're a child of God, and the devil's after you. That's why you. Amen? I mean, he doesn't like us. But he's going to lose. And we're going to win. Isaiah goes on to tell us what was happening. The response of the doorpost to the glory of the Lord. The doors of the doorpost of the house moved at the glory of the Lord. I'm sharing a lot of stuff. Maybe I shouldn't be. But down in that church down in Ellis County that I told you Sunday night about my folks pioneering, one night there was an old drunk guy came to church, and God was moving in a mighty way. Now, I don't remember this. They told it to me. During the service, that old drunk sobered up. And he told my mama after church, they called her Sister May. Sister May, the walls of this building were moving in and out. I don't doubt it. I've seen God move, you know. I don't think it was an optical illusion. I think God was dealing with the old guy, you know. The doorpost shook at the glory of the Lord. Can you imagine what's happening on the streets of gold tonight? I know it's all built solid, but it must be vibrating with the glory of the Lord. Praise God. Revelation 4:10 says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat upon the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. Now, worship includes more than, sometimes I think we kind of get mixed up about worship and praise. When we're singing, that's an expression of praise to the Lord. When you are worshiping, you are humbling yourself before God. Actually, you're falling prostrate before the Lord in worship, in adoration, in total submission to Him. See? You couldn't worship God with one little iota of rebellion in you. See, it has to be total submission to Him. Let us worship the Lord. Four verses of Scripture there, close together in the book of Revelation. Revelation 5:14, for the 24 beasts said, Amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. It goes on and on, talking about them falling down and worshiping the Lord. You know, if there's anything the presence of the Lord will do, it'll destroy your pride. How many of you have been around Pentecost long enough to see some physical demonstration? Okay. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit taking hold of people. Listen, I've seen God get a hold of people, and they would dance in the Spirit. People laying all over the platform, slaying in the Spirit, and they would be dancing all around them and never touch them. You say, oh, well, they just put on. No, you don't put on with your eyes shut and your hands raised and dance all around people laying on the floor. Amen. It was a demonstration of the Spirit of God. Amen. I really don't think we're any better than they were. If we submit ourselves fully to the Lord, God might still do some of that. Funny looking stuff. Praise the Lord. Just wanted to get an idea maybe of what's going on in heaven tonight. If you're grieving over a loved one that's gone on, don't. There's not one thing visible to them that would make them unhappy. You see, if they could just see what was going on earth, they don't. If they did, it would interrupt the glory of the happiness of the glory of God. They don't. They're rejoicing because of what they see. Hallelujah. That availability to them of the glory of the Lord. You know, Brother Curley, I'm going to respond to something you said earlier. You talked about the devil always after us. In 1963, we were having a revival, a little church I was pastored down in McLennan County. And, I mean, we were having a move of God. Had a lady, she was an old lady then. She was probably about 60. But I was 29 or so. So everybody's old then. We'd have prayer meeting every morning at the church, you know. I'll never forget. You know, I was pastoring a little town. I might go to church six or eight times a day just to move around among people. Oh, she scolded me for that. Get your act together and decide what you need and go to town and get it. I thought she was a nosy old woman. But boy, she could pray. We had 29 saved and 30-something filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, God moved in a powerful way. And it was because of prayer. You see, I mean, instead of going to town, she thought I ought to be praying all the time. Maybe I should have been, but I wasn't fixed to because she told me to. I guess I had a little streak of rebellion in me, you know. I want us to stand, Gary. I'm going to shut up. I want us to praise the Lord from earth all at once, okay? Let's just lift our voices in praise to the Lord all together. Stand with me, will you? God, we're grateful for your presence on earth. Thank you that you sent your Son, and he prayed the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit, and he's here dwelling in us tonight. And we give you praise and glory. And we look forward with great anticipation to walking on the streets of gold, to seeing things from heaven's perspective. Help us tonight to never lose sight of the fact that we are victorious. We are more than conquerors. We give you praise. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 We give you praise tonight. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. Praise the Lord. I want to ask Carl Roy if he'll dismiss us in prayer.